Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. QT and Sign Guy with you as always. Real fast before we jump into it, I want to put out there that Flophouse Wrestling will be hitting Indianapolis on the 12th of September. Invitation only type of situation, so contact Joseph Schwartz and see if you can get an invite to attend Flophouse Wrestling. A lot of our past guests and favorite people will be there, such as the amazing Maria and Zane Paisley, Apollo Star, Thunder Kitty. So definitely lots of things happen out there for Flophouse. Make sure you try to get some details and get there. But I want to bring on right away our guest for today, making his return to us, Rampage Radisson. Welcome back. Thank you for being on today.
Not a problem, man. Thank you for having me.
Well, since we talked last, of course, the whole world went a little bit sideways with the COVID-19 situation, and things got shut down for a while, but you recently got back into a ring the other day. Can you tell us what went down there at IWA Mid-South?
Oh, man. So, to give everybody a backstory, if you don't follow me on Facebook, I'm a very consistent promo poster. So, to make the story short, sweet, just in case you have heard the stories, or the promos, I should say, rather, 2017, I booked in a match against the amazing Maria. Show got canceled. Beyond my control. 2018, booked another match against Amazing Maria. Snowed out in Indiana, of course, is in the Midwest, and that's where it was at. So, had a lot of snow that day. Did not have the show. So, got canceled. So, I've recently, just the last couple of days, actually, a few weeks back, was contacted by IWA personnel about doing a match on their card, and I was told I was going against Amazing Maria James. So, third time's a charm. I came into their to her home, so to speak, her home company, and got my match against her. Of course, you know, like most people who have home court advantage, they always have the fans backing them up the most, and your adrenaline is a little bit more rushing, and you've got that killing you. You know, you just want to go at it hard. And I came up a little short. Amazing Maria, beat me 1-2-3. No shame in my game. I've been on a hot streak the last couple years. I've been beat by some of the best, some of the worst. And Maria is definitely, I would have to say, one of them that's on that category of one of the best, man. I've only had in-ring competition with three other females in my entire almost 21 years in this business. And none of them none of them was in a singles competition match. So this was actually my very first singles competition match. She's tough. She's tough as nails, man. She's a real deal. A lot of people underestimate her, and she's very competitive. It was a great show. It was a great show. A lot of other good matches on the card. Aaron Williams against Jake Crist. That Texas Death match was really good. The card was stacked, man. Amazing talent. I'm very blessed to be able to be a part of that roster going forward, just in case anybody's part of that roster. On a regular basis, I'm excited for this new opportunity, man. With the COVID-19 situation that's going on, there ain't many opportunities for a lot of people. All the states around the state of Indiana, like Illinois, Ohio, Kentucky, still don't have pro wrestling events. A lot of people know for almost 24 years, if not a full 24 years, IWA Mid-South has been the biggest independent organization, state of Indiana. Been around for a long time. And, I can say this could be a biased opinion or it could be a fapping on who you're talking to, but I can say I work for the best independent company in the state of Indiana, so I'm very blessed and pleased with this opportunity. A lot of the other states that are around us, they're closed off, and those people are trying to migrate to Indiana because Indiana has pro wrestling events open. I'm one of the few to make the cut, man, for IWA Mid-South, one of the roster members. So I'm heavily blessed and very fortunate to be a part of that roster, part of that organization as of this past Friday. So,
well, I think, like you said, you did go against one of the very best. Not that I'm biased, having managed Amazing Maria, but I am a little bit. But there at IWA Mid-South, they recently made a move. They went from Jeffersonville, Indiana, to Connersville, Indiana. They moved into the old World's Finest Wrestling venue, and they rechristened that the Axel Rotten Memorial Arena. What was it like wrestling in that building for IWA Mid-South? Did it seem like a pretty good fit for the company?
I wrestled down south in Jeffersonville. That was for them before as well. That building wasn't bad. That's a nice building. I like it. It's fit. This building now that they got Connersville, man, I'll tell you what. Look, right now it's a little looks on it isn't that great. It's an old furniture store, and it looks like it used to be an old grocery store. But, man, I'll tell you what, the possibilities are going to be endless with that building. Once a few repairs are put on that thing and it's dolled up to look very arena-ish and very wrestling-oriented, I'm going to tell you, man, that's going to be one awesome building to run in. It's got lots of space. I think I'm 13,000, 700 square foot or something along those lines. It is a huge building. And the possibilities and opportunities are just beyond endless on what can go down inside that building once it is completely redone and in fit for wrestling. The way it looks now, the way it's laid out now, is just a general concept, and it works. But, man, once the work and everything gets done inside that building, it is going to be an amazing venue. And I think there's going to be a lot of good opportunities for a very, very well-ran show and a huge crowds too. I'm telling you, man, it's in the beginning steps They just moved there. They've only had two shows there. It has a lot of opportunity to be something big, and I'm excited and blessed to say that I could be a part of an opportunity like that.
One of the things that most wrestlers are going to have a struggle with as things open up and they get back into live shows again is dealing with the long layoff physically. Some people are going to be able to maintain shape better than others. Some people are definitely going to struggle with either keeping weight off, or they're going to struggle with being able to be stretched enough so they're as agile and limber as they used to be. There's going to be a lot of physical challenges for a lot of people coming back. I know you worked extremely hard to get into the shape you're in, especially right before the shutdown. What did you have to do in order to make sure you were ring ready when the green light hit for you to make the return?
Really, the same stuff I did initially. I just had to balance out my diet, my workout routine. I make sure, you know, the stuff I eat healthy, nutritious for me, make sure I get enough, make sure I don't get, you know, too less. There's got to be that. You know, your body changes all the time. With me, though, I've been working on muscle building. I put on about an extra 40, 50 pounds at that 223-pound loss. But truth is, I'm working on muscle building. So in order to build muscle, you've got to put weight back on and shape it out to be muscle, make it lean, and not working out too well for me. So a process for me at this point is to drop that weight again and see what's left, what's remaining on my body that could possibly be muscle that was gained from the weight that was on, and then just go from there and assess myself. But pretty much, really, man, for anybody else who's not working on muscle gain, just trying to stay in ring shape and not have weight put on, just balance out your diet. In my book that I have, it's to be found on Amazon.com. I'm just putting a search for Skip Radisson. Inside that book of mine, and it details my fitness journey, and it does have a layout of like workout and routines and dietary stuff that I used to make sure that led me to all my weight loss. So, I mean, I will put a disclaimer out there and say that everybody's body is different, and everything that you do will work, including my path that I went down on. So if you did go purchase the book on Amazon, no guarantee that it will work for you because everybody's body is different. But if you are looking for another option because you tried a few things, there's another one out there for you. Just got to go to Amazon and purchase the book and give it a shot. But, yeah, you really, man, just calories in versus calories out. Watch what you eat and maintain physical activity. If you have downtime, do some working out. If you're not big on working out, do some activities around the house that will keep you physically working. And moving all the time.
Speaking of your book, I have a copy right here. And in the book, you mention the app MyFitnessPal, and you use that to sort of document everything you were doing to keep you accountable and to keep you apprised of how you were doing as far as the workout and diet regimen. Do you think that that's a key component for people succeeding when they are trying to either get in shape or to maintain shape, is to use an app like that to be able to keep the documentation?
Absolutely. you know, since then, Fitbits have came out and they've been pretty popular, and they kind of do the same thing depending on how much money you want to spend on one. But for people who don't have a lot of money or don't have no money at all, which was me in that time period of doing all that, with that around the time I started doing my fitness journey, Fitbits just came out. So, you know, they're like $300-$400 for just one, you know, and they do sort of the same thing. However, my Fitness Pal, I think, is a better route to go since I have officially experienced both. I still have my Fitness Pal on my phone. I still have it on my, you can download it from the Apple Store or the Google Store. But it's a free app. And yeah, it literally is very detailed and descriptive. So it has options on there when you log into your account, and it's free. It don't cost anything. It has options. You log into your account, you know, it'll ask you, you know, it has a map of everything laid out. All you have to do is click on the option that you want. So, for instance, like if you worked out for 30 minutes and it was all cardio, you can click on the fitness thing, and then you can scroll or you can do in a search of what type of workout or fitness of some sort. Rather be lifting weights, cardio, jump roping. It gets descriptive to like an individual detail that you did, and then you can input the time and takes those calories and adds those calories back in to the good. And then you can use those calories later on to either eat a little bit more and use them as like free calories, I guess you could say, or you can just use them and let them add up and then eat something kind of small later. So you can trick your body into eating the 1,200 plus calories. But average person should go anywhere, should not go anything less than 1,200. If you put your body in starvation mode. And on average, from my readings, now these could be very out of time when I was doing it, a male should have, between 2,000 and 2,400 calories. Females should have between 1,800 and 2,200. If they, on a daily basis, what that states, but you should definitely, guy or girl, should never go anything less than 1,200 calories. They put your body into starvation mode that you don't want to do. But yeah, like it gets specific with foods too. So each and every food, if you read labels, it sounds really, really hard to do. But if you're really consider, you know, coming back after COVID's over with and making a return, it's something that's necessary for you to do. It gets food descriptive. So if you read labels and it says, you know, one serving of Cheez-Its, let's say you eat some Cheez-Its, is 140 calories, then you can do a search, click on the food calorie thing, click on Cheez-Its, you know, do a search, and it'll pop up, and then you click on it. It'll ask you how many servings you have. It already has all the readings and everything in there. You put one, it automatically deducts 140 off of your calories for the day. So then it helps you track better on how much you have eaten, how much you have going in versus how much you have going out. And it's a very helpful tool. Like I said, it gets workout specific. It gets just like machine specific as well. It has different types of foods. It has an area where you can input how much water you drank that day. It's a very useful tool. It will definitely help. You just got to be dedicated to it, and you got to do it. When I first started using it, one of the things I realized is that I kept forgetting to input food. And then I would think about it later on, like, oh, man, what do I need to put in here? And I can't remember what it was that I had. And then I, at that point, then I kind of got a little messed up with it because I didn't know exactly, you know, what to input, how to input it, whatnot, because it was late. So what I used to kind of, like, derail that is immediately after I got done eating, I automatically put in everything I ate. That way I wouldn't forget to do it later on. But yeah, MyFitnessPal is definitely a great tool to utilize if you want to if you want to maintain or lose anything pertaining to weight. and keep yourself in good standings until you get a call from a promoter, or you call a promoter and you want to work for a show. It's definitely a good tool to use to keep the weight off and keep yourself in shape during the COVID-19 pandemic that we got going on right now.
Since the last time you were on, we lost somebody that we both worked for in our careers. A few months ago, the world lost Dangerous Bull Don Basher. I know you worked for him and on shows with him for most of your career, if not all of it. What can you tell us about your remembrances of Don Basher?
Oh, man. Dude, I have so many, that guy. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Honestly, I'm pretty sure almost everybody in the darn state of Indiana, and probably the surrounding states, has wrestled for him at least once. It's been around for so long, it's almost impossible to say you haven't wrestled for him, you haven't at least sat in the audience, or even, you know, hung around in with some of the people from there of some sort, like in the locker room area or something. It's just, to me, it seems unrealistic that anybody can say, unless they just now got into the business, that they've never been anywhere around him or had interaction with him or anything. Ultimately, though, man, I have tons of memories with him. It was a very sad situation. It was. I don't know the whole story still. I just know that, God bless his heart, he has passed on. His family's going through a lot of stuff. Pray for them. But back to him, we traveled so many darn places. I mean, so many. We've done so much different stuff. We had fun, man. He had good shows, you know. I was originally trained by Ken Gordon, who was the former owner of CCW in Indianapolis. Rob Kincaid, God bless his soul, too. He's gone past. Me and him were wrestling for multiple different people at the time. And I remember Don Basher being at one of the shows. And he asked Kincaid, "Hey, you wanna work on one of my shows?" And it was at it was Thanksgiving night, and it was at a gymnasium and apartment complex in West Washington Street. I forgot what the place was called. And Kincaid said, "Yeah, I'll come over and work it." And that night, I went with him. Me and him both had I wasn't technically on the show that Kincaid was on that with Basher. I was like there, but I wasn't on the show. So I tagged along with Kincaid at CWO that night. He wrestled a fellow I have no idea where the heck he went or what happened to him. His name was Jazz Hoyt. Kincaid lost to him on his debut for the CWO, and I talked to after the show. Basher asked me, he says, "Hey, what are you doing?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He's like, "You working anywhere for any other promotions?" I said, "Yeah, I'm working a couple places." He's like, "Okay, you don't work for me, you can." I said, "Oh, okay, yeah, that sounds cool. When, where?" He's like, "Well, let's start with training." I said, "Okay, so you can come over and show me what you got training." All right, that's cool. So me and Kincaid both went to training because the CWO has their own training facility. And we went over there, and even though Kincaid, he already asked Kincaid to work on the shows, he wanted to see what we both had personally. So me and him worked with Don Basher. And we actually, you know, after I trained with Ken Gordon, started training over at Don Basher's facility on a regular basis. So I guess you could say kind of like trained by him too. But we just went over there and we spruced ourselves up and got ourselves primed out. And was trying to get, you know, better in ring, working with some people, Don Basher himself. And Joey Owens will go there sometimes and be like a guest trainer. And a couple other people from time to time. But yeah, my very first show with WCW after that, man, it was at the Ramada Inn Banquet Hall off Emerson Avenue, Indianapolis. And it was myself, it was a triple threat match I got put into. Myself versus gentleman Billy Rock versus H. Coma Weeder. I'll never forget that, man. After the match, got my butt kicked, man, with a chair by both H and Billy. You know, being new to the business, only a couple years in, 2-3 years in, you know, that's something to kind of expect. But, that was my very first WCWO match, my very first encounter with Basher. When I was in an audience, I was like 12, 13, 14. I went to a couple independent shows at my own too, and I've seen them in my audience. The fandom audience, I've seen Russell a few times, and I think it's too bad, but I liked him, you know. We went on many trips together, like Greensburg, Indiana trips. Those were always fun. Greensburg was always a good time. The Don Basher. He had a few years, I remember, he had, like, WrestleMania parties. He'd go to WrestleMania, and we'd all pitch in, like, $5, go there, and he'd have tons of food for all of us if we wanted to. The house was there. He would have so many people over there. We had a good time. We all sat around and just talked and chummed it up. And, I mean, man, I have so many darn things. I remember me and Kincaid, I wrestled on Thanksgiving night 2009. I wrestled Jake Nick Roberts tag team match for wrestling. And I remember where Kincaid had came to me and was like, man, you're like, you had a good match. I said, thanks. And, he asked Jake Roberts what he thought about the match. He said he had a good time. He's like, but you know what? I have no disrespect for Skip or for any of the guys in the match tonight. He said, but you know, it'd be nice to work with a little old school guy. But I had a good time here. I want to come back with somebody that's more of my speed. I went and go, and we were like, okay, that's cool. So a month goes by after that show. We took December off and come back in January. We end up picking Don Basher versus Jake the Snake Roberts. Man, that was a great match. That was a classic fight. You're looking for a good old school wrestling. That was the one right there. Had a great ending. Jake ended up going over the match. After a chain or something like that was found. I can't remember the exact ending. I'd have to look at it. It's on YouTube. But man, just the psychology with those two guys in that match was off the charts. Man, just too many memories with that guy. It seems like after I get done with one, the other, another one resurfaces. But ultimately, man, you know, everybody has done wrong in their life. Everybody's done good. I do know some of the stuff that Don Basher had done that was bad, or not was wrong, I should say. And I know some of the stuff he's done that's been good. And ultimately, you know, we all make mistakes and we all learn. It's part of life. So, you know, I wouldn't say if anybody, I wouldn't hold a grudge with people on him. He, stuff happens, you know, things happen, you know. You learn from them, like I said, you know, it's all part of being here. But ultimately, man, I have nothing but like mainly nothing but good memories pertaining to him. I enjoyed his company and I enjoyed his shows. He tried to take care of people as best they could. He could. He's not always been best at it, but he tried. So it was a very sad situation. I can recall being at work and that day, looking my shoot job, so to speak. And I got up and hadn't gotten up from my desk for quite some time. I checked my phone, stepped outside, took like a little breather break. Being cooped up at your desk for a long time, those are necessary. Rather smoke or not, which I don't. But, you know, stepping outside for a fresh breath of air is always good. I grab my phone and I see a message from a friend on Messenger. He says, "Hey, did you hear about Don Basher?" I didn't answer him back. What the heck? And I seen like four or five people message me about Ant, who's only been on a couple of wrestling shows. My aunt messaged me. And she goes, "Hey, what they're saying about Don Basher is true." I didn't even know what she was going on, and she found out before me. I'm like, then I start researching stuff. I'm like, what are they talking? Before I even answer anybody back, I'm like, at this point, I decided to research stuff and look into it. And yeah, I got woken up by the news of his passing, and it was a very sad situation. I honestly can't believe it actually happened. So I went to his funeral, stayed there the whole time practically. It was a huge turnout. There are some guys, in my opinion, though, that wasn't there that should have probably been there. Don't get me wrong, it was huge. And I kind of felt like anybody who's ever crossed paths with Don Basher or had a match on one of his shows should have been there, because at some point in life, they had to either use that match as like a tool to get forward, or they used that company as a reference. So in a certain sense he helped get certain people certain places, in my opinion, just even if it was only through one match. There was a whole bunch of people there, whole bunch, don't get me wrong, it was a huge turnout. But not every guy, there were some bases that hadn't been there that were not there. I kind of felt like I should have been there, but you know, that's between him and them. But ultimately, man, it was a sad situation. I feel for his family. Family's going through a lot of stuff beyond that, and including that. And man, it just when it rains, it pours on certain situations, and at certain times for some people, man. And I'll never like to see that happen to anybody, man. I've been a part of that before, man. Best thing I could do is say God bless all of them. Hopefully, some healing comes soon and some closure on certain things. And God bless Don Basher.
Absolutely. Very, very well said. At this point, my co-host QT is with us, and I'm sure QT has a few questions, so I'm going to give you off to him.
All right, sounds good.
Thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Mr. Radisson. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks.
Mr. Radisson, I went on your merchandise webpage, and the first two items that I saw were a blue Frisbee for $5 and a Rampage Radisson shaker for $10. My question is this a COVID pandemic, in this COVID pandemic economy, which one is selling better?
Honestly, believe it or not, as weird as it sounds, the shaker glass is actually selling better. I think people realize that, everybody's always, first of all, I use shakers on a daily basis. I don't even have to use them for working out or for fitness. But that, I will say this, I was never really woken up to them until I embraced working out and fitness. So I think in a certain sense, people involve themselves in fitness and health and then realize that a shaker glass is a part of that. So they're like, oh, okay, oh, I need this because, you know, I'm working out and stuff, which if that's what they want to use it for, that's fine. They can use it on everyday stuff or whatever, however they want to use it. It's theirs once they purchase it. But I think it's the reason why that's selling better is because of the simple fact that it this is going on. There isn't much to do. Some people have realized that they want to actually get shape, and it is one of those things that's kind of associated. Do I think it would be better than the Frisbee? Absolutely not, because Frisbee keeps you in. You're going physical activity. So at that point, you're dropping calories, dropping weight. So rather you have another person to catch the Frisbee with, or your dog, or you could just throw it and then catch up with it, grab it, throw it again, have play target practice or something with it, whatever. I think, and it's $5 cheaper. It's $5 cheaper, but, you know, some people like to associate certain things with what they're doing, and apparently people are working out more, so they need that shaker glass to go with their workout. So, yeah, it's sold better. It's sold better.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Radisson, do you yourself have a dog like a golden retriever that chases your blue Frisbee?
Absolutely not. I have two goldfish, and I have a cat. I had that cat in my right eye. Had him out of the 10 years he's been alive. Had him 9. And he doesn't do much. He has been affected tremendously by the pandemic and put on tons of weight. Then again, I would like to point out the fact that he already had tons of weight on him prior. And anytime I throw a Frisbee, he just looks at me and gives me this look like, what are you doing? So, yeah, no.
Oh, okay. Well, now you said that you have two goldfish. Are any of those two goldfish like Klaus, the goldfish on American Dad, in temperament?
No. No, it would be nice if they was.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Radisson, when you come home after a long workout, which of these drinks would most likely go into the Rampage Radisson Shaker? 1, a Long Island iced tea, or 2, a Brandy Alexander, which is equal parts brandy, cream de cacao, and heavy cream?
Well, first of all, I only this could be a long answer. I apologize. First of all, I only drink on special occasions. Typically like 5 or 6 times a year. So that's not really a lot for somebody like myself. Every once in a blue moon, I'll have a pop-up occasion. But then again, I also follow walls. So I don't drink and drive. So if I have a driver with me and I'm in a situation where I have to get home, then yeah, I'll drink. At home, almost never. Which is a really odd thing to say. That's why I said it would be a really long answer. However, out of the two drinks that I had options from, it would definitely be the Long Island. Funny little story, I hung out with the Sandman from ECW, and actually I hung out with him a couple times. One of the times, the very first times it was which is now Heroes and Legends Wrestling, but it was for EWF in Marion, Indiana, and he shared with me his favorite alcoholic beverage, which is a Long Island iced tea with just a drop of peach schnapps, and he explained to me what that does is the little drop of peach schnapps, it actually separates all the alcohol at the bottom of the cup, that way it doesn't settle there. It actually spreads out throughout the rest of the drink.
so you don't have to wait for that last drink to get that really big alcohol taste. It keeps it steady throughout everything. So that's what it would be. It would be the Long Island Iced
Tea. Oh, okay. I'm going to cross out the Brandy Alexander here. I'm crossing it out right now. Mr. Radisson, on your next wrestling video or promo, would it be possible for you to mix in your in a Rampage Radisson shaker a drink called the Bamboo, which consists of 1.5 parts sherry, 1.5 parts dry vermouth, 3 dashes of Angostura bitter Angostura bitters, and 2 dashes of orange bitters? Would it be possible?
Absolutely not.
Oh, oh, okay. All right. We'll do a, we'll expect a traditional promo from you, and not the alcohol. Maybe some water. Some water. Okay. Very good. Okay. Well, Mr. Radisson, in a seminal moment in Looney Tunes cartoon history, Daffy Duck plays a sheriff named Drip Along Daffy. And he is trying to take an outlaw in custody. When Daffy points his gun in the face of the outlaw, who is wearing a black hat, by the way, the outlaw bites the barrel off. He then tells the bartender to pour 2 usuals. At the 35-second mark of the video, and you can look this up after we get off the air, the bartender opens up a cabinet, and you can see 3 bottles. One is Old Panther, one is Hydrogen Bitters, and one is Cobra Fang juice. And it's stored in a asbestos-lined cabinet. This combination is so toxic that the bartender has to mix the 3 ingredients with a welding mask and tongs to even handle the bottles. Even the ice cubes that are added to the drink pop out of the glass and run. My question is, how do you think Amazing Maria or Dewey Wellington would have done in the ring after drinking this very strong drink? Would they have done better than Drip Along Daffy?
Well, Dewey Wellington probably straight out of high school, hashtag straight out of high school. So he probably, that would probably be against the law. But if he decided to drink it anyways, well, he probably wouldn't last long. Probably his first drink, if not, probably the most strongest. The drink would probably have been scared of Amazing Maria. You know, it would have been scared of Maria. When it seen it was being slid to Maria, it would have probably just immediately exited the glass itself, which is probably what I should have did, but I didn't.
Have you ever run into a female wrestler, Mickey Knuckles?
I am very familiar with her.
I think she could look at this drink of Old Panther, Hydrogen Bitters, and Cobra Fang, and the drink itself could hop out of the glass and run away. Yes.
Well, that's what I was saying. It should have happened with if it was being slid to Amazing Maria by the bartender. That's what I was stating would have happened if it seemed it was sitting in front of Maria. Everything on the inside would have probably just, like, broke down and rained.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, hopefully after this interview is over, you can take on a homework assignment and look up Daffy Duck drinks in a bar with an outlaw. I think that would be uplifting in the Cloven 19 times for you.
All right. Okay. There's that.
Well, Rampage, I recently took an assignment recently from my security company to work an overnight shift at a grade school that was undergoing construction. Unfortunately, I picked up a screw or nail pulling into the overnight site, and by morning, my rear driver's side tire was flat. Have you yourself had any recent flat tires on your way to a wrestling event?
Nope, not on my way to a wrestling event. However, about a month ago, I had received a flat tire. Actually, my lady had a flat tire. And I met her in in, I think it was like, I met her in a town that was close to my employer. And then, because she was already in town with our daughter, and we ate and went a couple places, and then I just followed her home. And I realized that when I was going down the street, when we were really close to our home, that she was actually on the shoulder and her tire shredded. It was ironically the driver's side rear. And I was in the process of changing it, and officer, off-duty officer asked if we needed some help, and like, yeah, and called in an on-duty officer, and the officer came out and sped the process up, stated that he had prior experience with that before he became an officer and fixed it up, and they got us up and going time, and we took off. It was, now the moral of this story is, going on to the question that was asked, even though it wasn't on the Wade Larson show, not all cops are bad. So people should put that in consideration. It wasn't a part of his job to fix his my tire and speed the process up, but the person did, and it was rather nice of him.
Okay, that was very nice. Yes, okay, all right. I just got the feeling that recently you had a flat tire. I got that out in the cosmos. Yes, somehow.
Yep.
Okay. Well, Mr. Rampage, I saw your YouTube video entitled Upstart Pro Wrestling, Rampage Radisson versus Lennox Norris, and the video was posted on September 23rd, 2019. From my video analysis, I'm estimating that Lennox is about 6'2.5" tall and 215 pounds. Am I in the neighborhood?
I'm going to say muscle. I'm going to say weight-wise, probably a little bit more, but not much more. But it's all mainly muscle. So.
Oh, very good. Very good. All right. Boy, I'm usually spot on in my video analysis. That's good. Okay. Well, Mr. Rampage, at the 3-minute and 32-second mark of the match, you rolled out of the ring while the referee was saying something to Lennox. The ref turned around and saw you were out of the ring, and he began his count at the 3-minute and 37 mark of the match. And, and at the 4-minute and 8-second mark of the match, you were jawing at some fans. At this point, you had been out of the ring around 38 seconds. At the 4:10 mark, you can see Lennox slide out of the ring in much the same way Pete Rose often did into second base. At the 4:11 mark, you slid back into the ring, and immediately when Lennox slid back in, you gave him a double axe handle chop to the back of the upper shoulder area. You then rolled him on his back and pounded on his chest area. My question is, and I have seen it time and time again, the referee's perception of time slows down when some wrestlers exit the ring. To your knowledge, did Lennox buy the referee a watch after this match ended? That's what I'm asking.
You know, I don't really know if he did or not. I'm going to assume that he probably didn't make his Christmas card list. So because of the way it all went down, time-wise and result, probably should have won by count-out, if that's the situation that's going down. Which, once again, definitely doesn't put him on his Christmas card list. But no, I cannot confirm nor deny if he purchased him a watch. However, I will say this, it sounds like it may have been something that should have been done.
I hear that, yes. Okay, very good. Well, you got the win at the 8-minute and 48-second mark with a traditional 3-count. Do you believe after the high aerial spin that you gave to Lennox, you could have demanded that the referee do a 5-count like King Kong Bundy used to insist the ref do? Do you think you could have got a 5-count?
Quite possibly, but why do that? threes a lot sooner than five, and it makes it a lot quicker for a win. And in the way I've always known things, a win is a win. So I'll take three over five any day.
Okay. All right, very good. Okay. Okay, well, Rampage, COVID-19 has recently impacted what many KISS Army fans think will be their last tour after 45 years of being bandmates. My question is, were you ever a KISS Army groupie? And if so, did you don the face paint and costume of the Cat or Peter Criss?
Yeah, I was a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of KISS. They're my number one band. In a six-month time period, I was very blessed at the end of 2019 and then the beginning of 2020 to see them on both times, twice, in less than, like I said, about a six-month time span. Personally, best concert I've ever seen. I never dressed up as Peter Criss, ever. I've always been either a Paul or Gene person, always. And for the February 2020 concert, I dressed up as Gene and attended that concert, Fort Wayne, Indiana. But yeah, no, huge fan. I wouldn't say I was a groupie. That's going too far. And I never deemed the Catman outfit. It was always the Demon or the Star Child. So.
Oh, okay. Did you ever see the YouTube video where a Family Guy cartoon where Peter went to Denny's and the KISS rock group was there, and Ace Frehley was complaining about his Grand Slam breakfast because he was shorted a sausage link?
No, I have not, but that's hilarious.
Oh, okay, well, you might want to go on YouTube and look up Loose Lois meets KISS at Denny's. Loose Lois.
Sounds amazing.
Yes. Okay. Okay, very good. That's a nice homework assignment. Okay. Well, Rampage, you studied culinary arts at Ivy Tech Community College. Do you ever go on YouTube and get inspiration from John Ritter, who played Jack Tripper in Three's Company and later Three's a Crowd, as far as chef skills?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The only movie I can honestly, there's only two movies I can honestly think I ever thought was really good by John Ritter. One of them was called Stay Tuned, and the other one was called Problem Child. And Problem Child went multiple movies. I do turn on my daughter, she watches like some of those reality. She'll watch them, and I'll kind of just come in the room and pop my head in, take a look and take a gander, but sometimes she'll watch some of like those bakery and those chef shows, just out of curiosity for her own sake. I'll kind of come in and kind of be walking through the living room or something, and you know, catch her watching them. But I mean, I don't really know John Ritter. No. Not any sort of inspiration there, other than maybe to be an actor. But truth be told, he wasn't really that good at that either. So.
Oh boy. Okay. All right. Well, Rampage. There was an episode actually the fifth episode in season one of Three's Company called Jack the Giant Killer. And this was kind of based on when Janet, Chrissy, and Jack are taking a break from weekend chores and they go to the Regal Beagle pub. And there was a guy there, kind of a bully, called Jeff, a rather large man. And he approaches their table, Janet, Chrissy, and Jack's, and makes a rude play for Chrissy. His size intimidates Jack. The situation becomes more embarrassing for Jack when the Ropers drop in, and Stanley Roper He is ill-tempered from a toothache and puts Jeff in his place. Jack feels he may have acted kind of cowardly by avoiding a fight. Anyway, if you put on a community play yourself, reenacting this episode, who would play the role of Jeff, the large guy? Would it indeed be Lennox Norris?
No. No. I'm 5'11". I'm not that much. He's not that much. Lennox is that much taller than me. If we're going to do like a skit, a recreate of a Three's Company episode, which sounds absolutely ridiculous. However, if we were going to, the giant person would be. I have no idea. It could be anybody, really. Anybody. I would say somebody like 6'5 or bigger, maybe even 6'4. That would be more of a giant situation. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. Just pick somebody. I don't care. It wouldn't be played by Lennox, though.
Okay, Rampage, we recently had on a episode on Turnbuckle Turmoil called 6'5 or Larger. We will, Sign Guy and myself, will go back to this episode, 6'5 or Larger, and pick someone out of that to play Jeff by your suggestion.
That works.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Well, now, in this episode, Jack the Giant Killer, who would Janet be played by? Could it be that the amazing Maria could play Janet, in your opinion?
Yeah, well, it could. But the truth be told in that situation is I wouldn't even have to stand up or say anything. She could have probably handled it herself.
Very good. Very good observation. Okay. Have you ever come across a female wrestler, Casey Carlisle?
I'm familiar with her, and I do believe I have her on a couple social media outlets.
She's the one with all the large title belts. I think you yourself would agree that she could play Mrs. Roper. I think so.
I agree.
Mrs. Roper.
Oh, I agree.
All right. Well, Rampage, it's been great talking with you. I hope you go on YouTube when the show is over and look up Kiss at Denny's with Family Guy. I think you'll get a kick out of that.
That and the Donald Duck episode at the saloon. Yep. Yeah, I'll look them all up.
Drip along, Daffy. Okay. All right. Well, Rampage, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, QT. Rampage, I'm going to throw out the name of Stompin' Steve to play Jeff. How would that work?
Hey, there's a good one. That's a tall guy. That works, yeah.
All right, so if Stompin' Steve's listening, and I'm sure he is, he has to study up his lines to play Jeff in the recreation of the Three's Company Season 1 episode. Well, we've got just a few minutes left on the show, so Rampage Radisson, if there's anything you want to plug or promote or say to the fans, go right ahead.
I'm IWA Mid-South. They have their Prince of the Deathmatch tournament. I believe the date on that's 25th to 26th in Connersville. Then they have a show in Indianapolis the next night, and they're going back to Connersville for, I believe it was the double. It's like a tag team deathmatch tournament. I forgot what it's called. So, yeah, they got a three-day weekend in September, at the end of September. So, Connersville, Indianapolis, Connersville. So, make sure you check them out. MCIW Wrestling. Check those guys out. We're always in Salem, Indiana, at the Washington County Fairgrounds. So make sure you check those out. www.rampageradisson.com to find out where I'm at, what I'm doing. It has a submission area where you can submit questions, join my email list. You can also purchase Rampage merchandise, that Frisbee or that shaker glass that was referenced earlier in the show, or any of my merchandise items are all up on there. If you join the email list, you'll get codes from time to time and special promotions. So make sure you do that while you're on the site. And if anybody has any questions, comments, concerns, just hit me up on all my social media outlets. The name always is Rampage Radisson. So other than that, I have nothing else really to say. I appreciate Sign Guy and Turnbuckle Turmoil having me on here, and your co-host as well. And we'll keep updates going from time to time. Opportunities and things have been going on, so I appreciate it. Still the ICW Crossroads champion, like 900 something days. I defend it regularly every 30 days or multiple times in a month to stretch out that 30 day period for a month. I don't have to defend it. So I'm just defending it last night against Big Stan Sierra. I just grabbed my belt and walked out. It was a 10 count. I just took the belt, let him win my disqualification by count out. So still champion of that, defending it successfully every, like I said, within 30 days, if not, and multiple times in a month, stand out at 30 days. So still 900-some-odd day streak, so still going. Once again, thanks, Turnbuckle Turmoil, for having me on here, and everybody, if you have, just hit me up on Facebook or one of my social media outlets, and we'll go from there if you want to chat.
Well, Rampage, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us. We appreciate it, as always. Best of luck to you as you make yourself a new home there at IWA Mid-South. I'm sure our paths will cross again, hopefully in the near future. Everyone, be safe out there. Don't forget to hit up Joseph Schwartz if you're looking to get an invite to Flop House Wrestling. It's going to be a great show with a lot of great talent on it. And make sure you hit up the social medias and the website for Rampage. Get some of that merchandise. Support what he does. Go buy a ticket if he's on a show near you. We'll be back with you next week, next Friday, our tribute to Monday Night Nitro, where we will have Kevin Sullivan and possibly a few other WCW alumni with us to discuss Nitro. And 1 week from today, it is our Turnbuckle Turmoil Salute to Fishing. We'll have several sports entertainers from all across the country to discuss fishing, because apparently sports entertainers love to fish. We'll get into that aspect of the business. So make sure you join us then. Everyone, continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you next week.